Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Good evening and welcome to another exciting show of the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Julie Johnson from beautiful Southern California, where the fires have all gone away and the air is fresh and fall is in full swing. So I'm delighted to be with you. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Hawaiian Code of Forgiveness, and I include myself in that group, I am absolutely thrilled to be bringing you Dr. Matthew James live from Hawaii for some incredible information that will enhance your life in dramatic ways. And as always, I want to mention just a few announcements before we bring on Dr. James, so I don't have to stop in the middle of the interview and change gears. I just, you know, this is a subject that I want to just stay focused on. But next week, we are having Abraham, who is coming back onto our show for 2 full hours in which you can call up and ask your questions. It's going to be really, really a great show. So it's call in, get a slot here so that you can talk directly to Abraham. Tune in. It's going to be fun. Really, really excited about next week's show. And as always, too, I want to remind you of our Science of Collective Consciousness meditations that are happening. The next one will have a special broadcast this Wednesday, November 7th, 6 p.m. California time, 8 p.m. Eastern. And this meditation is for rain for the state of Georgia. We all know that there's a major drought going on there, and we had such success in Australia, creating 2 weeks of heavy rain, just enough to fill the area with water supply. Well, we can do the same thing for Georgia and stop their fighting between Louisiana and Florida and make everybody a little bit happier by getting together in this collective consciousness meditation and just filling ourselves up with love and sending it out to that area with our intention at the same time with thousands of other people, we can create rain. So join us and then fill yourself up with this love that's just so awesome. So it's just an incredible experience that people thoroughly enjoy, even if it had nothing to do with rain or the state of Georgia or anything. It's just a very, very wonderful experience, so I hope you can join us for that. And if you want information on more future collective consciousness meditations, such as the upcoming financial prosperity meditation and the world peace meditation and health meditation and all those, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com, the webpage, and look on the menu for collective consciousness meditation schedules. And there's a whole listing. I think we even have one for finding your ideal love. So it's going to be great. Check in there and get the times and the locations and the links to tune in. And now I want to introduce Dr. Matthew B. James, international trainer, lecturer, and educator, started meditating at age 5, which is incredible, and trained in contemporary therapeutic techniques in his teens. We've got a whiz kid here. He is now president of the American Pacific University and the Empowerment Partnership and has been chosen to carry on the lineage of Huna, the ancient Hawaiian science of consciousness and energy healing. As trainer to the trainers, Dr. James has taught many, many leaders in the human potential movement. His work is dedicated to creating lasting personal transformation and training people to access and use their intrinsic personal power. Oh, Dr. James, this is so exciting to have you on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Julie. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm just thrilled because this is a subject that I have always been wanting to learn more about because, as I was mentioning earlier, you know, this Huna and Pono, all of this is going around in the law of attraction circles big time, but yet there's really little information, and just having you on is going to help us understand everything a little bit better. So can I just start off here by asking the basics, like what exactly is Huna and Pono, and what is it?
Well, that's a really good place to start. The word Huna, if you translate it into English, means hidden wisdom or the secret. So literally it means that it's a level of information that is beneath what is consciously available. I guess you could look at it from that perspective. From another perspective, many of the teachings here in Hawaii had to become Huna as, you know, Western thinking came over and some of the old ways were being, to a literal point, some of the old ways were being abolished. And so what happened was, to preserve some of the ancient teachings, they made the teachings become Huna or secret. So it kind of has a dual meaning to it. Currently, the term Huna is a label that is given to a study of how to empower the individual. So really, Huna as a complete system is how you as an individual become empowered and create the things in your life that you would want to create. That's an overview of Huna. And it deals with a lot of different concepts and ideas. There's a lot of discussion in many circles of Huna about energy and energy work. In addition to that, you have discussions about or focuses on higher self and how the higher self can come in to assist in the release of negative emotions or limiting decisions. And you have also the talk about Pono, to become Pono, or the process of Ho'oponopono does in some circles fall under the realm of Huna. So there's a lot of different things that make up the entire approach to Huna. But that's pretty much Huna in a nutshell.
Wow, so it's truly about empowerment of the self.
That's the way that the original name for what we teach would have been ho'omana, and ho'o means to make, and mana is life force energy. And with mana, with energy, you're able to achieve many tasks, not just the daily tasks of getting up and doing your tasks through the day, but the ability to bring in the amount of energy that you want to achieve a goal, bringing in positive energy in order to create happiness in your life, or bringing in the energy to remove any of the blocks. So the term ho'omana, to make energy, means more than just energy. And that would have been one of the original concepts of Huna. And ho'omana together can also mean, literally, empowerment. Because when you have control over your own spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical energy, you as an individual are empowered and are able to create the things in your life that you want to create.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, that's very well put.
Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So where does the Hawaiian Code of Forgiveness fall all into this?
Well, one of the things, and I've noticed that a lot of students that have been coming to my workshops have been asking about this. We're actually teaching a workshop over here in Kona right now, and one of the students raised their hand and they said there's a lot of talk about forgiveness and how important forgiveness is. And this is happening in, like you were saying, in circles of the law of attraction, people that are focusing on things like the movie The Secret and the law of attraction. It's even beginning to take root in traditional psychology and emphasis on this idea of forgiveness. In ancient times here in Hawaii, to really simplify the concept, it was important that you gave forgiveness or you forgave people of transgressions because it was known that to hold on to something that you have against another person, it only hurts yourself. I mean, I worked with a client who had been holding on to this negative emotion towards someone who had hurt her. You know, in a past relationship, one of the people that she was with had walked all over her, and this is her own words, and that to this day, she had held on to it, and it had manifested all the way down to the physical, where she was sick, she wasn't able to create the relationship that she wanted. And easily through the process of Ho'oponopono, to become right with yourself, she was able to release that negative experience towards that person, forgive them, and in turn forgive herself, and in a very short period of time was able to get into a relationship that she's been in ever since. So the word pono means to become right, or to be right. And it's not as in I'm right, you're wrong, or you're right, I'm wrong. It's as in right where you are congruent with yourself and you are in a state of I am true to who I am, that this is all right with me and things are right. That's the idea or the concept of the word pono.
Yeah, kind of like you're connected to your
exactly.
inner importance.
And it was important that in the, not just in the Huna tradition, but in many of the teachings here in Hawaii, you wouldn't do anything unless you were pono. You know, I hear a lot of people that they say, I want to achieve a better career as a goal. But yet at the same time, they say to me, one student said to me, I want a better career, but I also want to spend more time with my family. And so because there wasn't this feeling of pono, like I'm not totally 100% congruent or right with what it is that I want to do in my career, because if I spend too much time in my career, I'd be away from my family. This student didn't achieve anything. It was as if he was stuck in this state of no action or no manifestation. And no amount of wanting something in the career brought it to him because he wasn't pono. In ancient times here, you wouldn't do anything unless you were pono at any level.
Hmm. Very good. Well, what about, you said that there's a foundation of four truths that we need to create lasting transformation, and that is bringing ourselves right. Is that correct, or
yeah,
am
that's,
I wrong?
No, that's absolutely right. And one of them is the law of attraction.
Oh.
Huna, yeah. A lot of different teachings actually had that idea or that concept. In some circles here in Hawaii, it's called the law of focus.
Oh.
It's also referred to as the law of attraction. Huna has a little bit of a different look at the law of attraction or the law of focus, in that it doesn't diminish the importance of it whatsoever. What it says, though, is that before you would focus, you would want to understand some basic concepts. And the four basic concepts of Huna, or the four laws, I would say, that make up the foundation of Huna, would be the law of perception as projection, or as above, so below. That when you look outside yourself, the world is a mirror reflection of you. Yeah. If you wake up in a happy state, and you look out at the world looks different than the day you wake up in a negative state. If you wake up in a state of anger, the world actually looks like a different place. People tend to point outside themselves and say, the world has changed. And in actuality, you have to understand that you have changed inside and that the world is a reflection of you. One of the other ones is the law of creation. You have to understand how creation occurs and the concept of the dichotomy that happens in all manifestation. And then how that, the third one would be how the cycles and rhythms, the energy, moves back and forth between all of the dualities or the opposites. Because every time you manifest something or create something, the opposite also comes into existence. You have day, night, you have man, woman, you have all these different polarities. And so when manifestation occurs, then you actually create a dichotomy at the same time. And then you have to understand the law of focus or the law of attraction, in that you have the ability with your focus alone to move into the different dichotomies of the different realities so that you are able to then create what it is that you want in your life. So all four of these together really make up the foundation of Huna that you would then build the advanced techniques on.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love it. I love it. Because, yes, we touch on each of those, but we just touch on them lightly about mirroring in the law of attraction. So you go into much, much more detail, which I can see to understand every concept it brings you closer to self.
And that's exactly true. And, you know, I want to make sure that I say something, not just for you and for me, but for the listeners as well. There's a wonderful Hawaiian saying called Aohe pau ko ike kohalau. And I know that's a mouthful, so I'll translate it for you. It means that think not that all wisdom is in your school. And that was above the halau or the school of one of my kumu, one of my teachers. And what he basically said was that, you know, there are many different concepts and ideas out there on the planet, and that when you're talking with someone, they may be a master in their own right, and you may be one as well, and that anytime a sharing of information occurs, it's not about saying that one thing is right or another thing is wrong. It's just that there's a lot of different ways of viewing things. And so I'm very respectful of other traditions that are out there. And another thing is, to progress down any path of empowerment, you have to look for the similarities. You have to find what is the same that is in the law of attraction as there is in Huna. Because when you find the similarity, it helps with your path towards empowerment. If you look for the differences, you actually take away from one of the contents or one of the pieces of knowledge and prevent you from seeing what is truly there. And I really think pretty much everyone is saying the same thing. We just say it in different ways.
Yes, because everybody can identify with one thing or another, have it resonate within. And everything has a little bit of information that you can grab and hold on to. And not everything fits. So one size doesn't fit all. I think the law of attraction and possibly Huna, it's really a universal law, but it's everything is based on the individual and their own beliefs and what they resonate with, correct?
Oh, that's so true. I mean, I say this to my students all the time, that you have to find what resonates with you. And the reason why one person can practice a technique and find an amazing amount of success, and another person will practice a technique and not find the success, is because not everything resonates with the same person. We're all different people. We all have different bodies. People respond to diets differently, so they're going to respond to content and knowledge differently. So I really, when I talk to people in my seminars, you know, I say to them, you have to find what resonates with you, because when you find that and it fulfills you as an individual, you're going to be able to do more with it. You're going to be able to incorporate that into your life with such ease that it becomes a part of who and what you are. And when you achieve that, that's a magnificent thing. And if it's Huna or if it's the law of attraction or whatever it is, as long as you incorporate that and you own it and you are pono with it, you can achieve so much. It's an amazing experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, oh, yeah, we're right on target here. Now, you said that there is similarities, or Huna is really about the quantum physics. I really get into the quantum physics. What is that about? How does the quantum physics of Huna apply to us every day?
Well, I really love, there are so many wonderful authors out there with regards to quantum physics.
Mm.
And, I mean, I've read books. Michael Talbot, probably The Holographic Universe, is such a wonderful place to start in looking at quantum physics. Fred Allen Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten to listen to and to have conversations with and read all this material. You know, a lot of people in quantum physics talk about how this study has brought us back full circle to where we were in ancient times.
Mm.
And one of the things that Huna taps into is a very ancient teaching. And on our planet, for a while, we moved away from that. You can look at it from a lot of different ways. You can say that people attempted to wipe out the teachings, or that we turned our back to it, or that we trusted on science more than we did on our own personal empowerment. Whatever the reason is, we tended to move away from these ancient teachings. I'm teaching my workshop here in Kona right now, and I said to a person, I said, you know, in ancient times, we wouldn't need to have talked about the law of attraction. It was just known that you wouldn't need to talk about the fact that perception is projection. You would be able to say to someone, we don't harm the planet, or you don't hurt that aspect of reality because it's a reflection of you. We have to talk about it now because we moved so far away from that.
Yeah.
The importance of quantum physics is that it's really gone back and proven many of the ancient things. It's proven the idea of cause and effect. It's proven the idea of perception is projection. And it's proven the idea of the law of attraction. So quantum physics is a vehicle of modern science that demonstrates that these techniques that we teach, the ones that you talk about on your show, and the concepts and ideas of HUNA are valid, and that they do exist all the way down to the quantum. That's the importance of quantum physics.
I especially love it for the people who are really not into the spiritual realm yet, but they can identify with the scientific. So really, law of attraction, HUNA, is now able to go mainstream, not just with the metaphysical or the spiritual realm, but to everyone. It's opening it up. It's just an amazing time to live in, don't you think?
No, I absolutely agree. Five or 10 years ago, I would have people come into the seminar, and I would say, stress is bad for the physical body. And I had a guy raise his hand and say, there's no proof of that. You don't get that now. I have people walking in, and I'm talking about the mind-body connection, and they're sitting there going, yes, we understand that. Go to the next topic already. So there's definitely an increase in consciousness. There's definitely a shift, and that has a large part to do with the information that's out there, with the studies that have been done in quantum physics, and with, I mean, people like you that go on the air and bring guests on so that more people are able to hear these ideas and these concepts.
Yes.
That's really, I think, contributing to the overall shift that you're seeing in people.
Yes, a definite shift in consciousness. People are more open to it. It's just wonderful. I just love it. Well, what do you say that physical manifestation is critical to any spiritual path? Why is it necessary to actually see a creation from you?
There's a lot of different, and by the way, probably just because of the title of your show and what you talk about, this is not going to be a really new concept. I remember getting on the air about 4 or 5 years ago and doing a show about success and spirituality, and that you can be successful and and very spiritual. And I had some people that emailed me and emailed the radio show host afterwards saying, how dare you say that? You can't be spiritual and successful. And I sat there and I went, why would you think that? I mean, there are so many examples. Growing up, I got to spend time with Baba Muktananda. My stepfather was in charge of security for the City Yoga Foundation in Southern California. And I remember sitting during a mass initiation in Santa Monica. I remember sitting up there at the front of the room. And you know, not a lot of people know, but the City Yoga Foundation is a very successful and very abundant organization. Baba, as an enlightened individual, woke up and said, I want to go out there and teach this information. I remember a person came up to him in one of the, I think it was in this initiation that was taking place there in Santa Monica, and someone came up to him and said, Baba, I want to know how I can create more money so I can provide for my family. And he said, what you need is you need more Shakti. And this is back in the 80s. Baba was talking about the fact that money is just energy, and that if you want to know how to manifest more, you just need to get more in touch with energy. So the reason why HUNA says it's okay to be successful, the reason why the principles of HUNA would say not only it's okay, but it's important that you learn how to be in control of the physical, is that Dion Fortune, I think, summed it up best. And Dion Fortune was an esoteric writer from the last century. And Dion Fortune said that the ascent to spirit cannot begin until the descent into matter is complete. We live in a physical world. And as much as we want to be spiritual, as much as we have at the deepest level of who and what we are, we want to connect with higher consciousness, collective unconscious, with spirit, whichever label you want to give it. We also have a physical body. So we can't turn away from the physical body and say that it is evil, dirty, or nasty. In the Hawaiian culture, this transcends HUNA. In the Hawaiian culture, there were no vulgarity, there were no bad words. Things on the physical level were not seen as being evil, dirty, or nasty. In fact, it was quite the contrary, that if everything comes from one source, if everything comes from a higher level of consciousness, all the way down to the physical, then everything must be an aspect of the beauty that is there on the planet. So what Huna teaches is that you actually have to be in control of your physical being. And that can show up either on the physical body or in your ability to manifest. I mean, that's why a student about a year ago said to me, what do you think of this show that they're putting out there on DVD where they're talking about it's okay to make money? Don't you think that that's awful because you teach Huna? And I went, no, that's a good thing. It's good to be in control and be able to manifest on the physical. I mean, just simply put, if you're not able to create the money, needs, and resources that you want, how are you able to do the other things in life that matter?
Yeah, I agree. I think because of The Secret that came out and showed everybody, the old-timers for the Law of Attraction have that sense that, you know, it's all materialistic, it's not spiritual. So there's a little bit of controversy from The Secret. But from my way of thinking, it's when you manifest, it serves as proof that the law is actually there. So therefore, you're able to become more spiritual because you have that proof.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, we have physical bodies. We have a physical world around us. I mean, if being able to attract the resources that you would like in your life is a bad thing, we wouldn't have resources. I don't believe that negativity necessarily is something that people have to experience unless they choose to create it on their own.
And they don't realize that they do that, but that's it. Like you said, the mirroring concept, what we put out, we get back. So we are truly responsible for everything that we think and put out to the world.
Absolutely. And the world ends up becoming exactly as you want to see it. Whatever information you, from a Huna perspective, whatever information you give to your Unihipili, your unconscious mind or the lower self within the individual, that is what you will then get back in your experience of existence. Mm-hmm. So I worked with a lady who was working on physical health, which is a form of being in charge of your physical manifestation. You know, a lot of people do focus on this money aspect of it. Huna teaches that you not only need to be in control of the things around you in manifestation, you have to be in control of your physical body as well. And this lady had been coming to the trainings for about a year or so, and she wanted to work with me one-on-one. And so I got to work with her, and one of the goals was that she wanted to be more spiritual, but her health prevented her from achieving that. But she didn't feel good working on health because it was the physical body, and she had this belief that by working on the physical, that she would actually be taking herself away from the spirit. So by releasing the negative emotions and limiting decisions using a process called ho'oku'u to release that and for her to become pono, she got in charge of her physical health. And from the Huna perspective, when your physical body is strong and when you are able to manifest out all around you, you create a foundation. And your ability to move back towards that which is important, the spiritual or a higher consciousness, you have to lift up off of that foundation. But if you have no foundation, you're not able to even move upward. So by getting in charge of her health, she was able to have that foundation. And she's been coming to the trainings now for about 6 or 7 years, and she's not only created abundance in her life and a wonderful health, her relationship, she's begun to teach now at the workshops with me. So
wow.
I actually have her go on stage a few times just to share and teach some of the techniques that she beyond knowing it, she's lived it. And that's an important thing.
Oh, yeah. Wow, how neat is that? That's a good example. I like that. Well, what is this? I'm dying to ask you. There's a concept that's I love you, I thank you, please forgive me, I'm sorry. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I actually haven't heard that specific one. It's very close to many of the techniques of Ho'oponopono, though.
Yes. And what is that about? Is that like a cleansing? Or I don't understand it.
You know, with every technique, there's going to be a slight variation.
Okay.
And again, this goes back to Ohe Pauku Ike Kohalau. I think pretty much that the way that I teach it, we're saying the same thing. And my family carries a lineage of Huna. There was a kahuna that lived here in Kona named Daddy Bray. And his son passed the information on to my father, which then it was passed on to me to carry forward and teach here in Kona and all around the planet. As I was telling you before I came on the show, we're going to be in California coming up at the end of this month.
Yes.
And I'm going to teach Ho'oponopono there. I think it's so important, and I'm always making sure that in every training that we get to a point where we're able to do Ho'oponopono. And this is something that your listeners can actually take with them just by listening in on the show. In Western, in the English language, we tend to use the word I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So in a past relationship, we would get into a heated discussion, if you want to call it that. And I would say I'm sorry, or she would say I'm sorry back to me. And then a week later, I would find myself bringing up that same fight that we had a week earlier, or she would bring it up.
Right.
I remember one time saying, why are we talking about this again? And she said, I'm not over it. And I go, but we said sorry to each other. And she said, but I wasn't really sorry, and I didn't think you were sorry. And one of the things that Huna teaches is that sorry is very one-sided. It doesn't create an energetic connection. And for anybody that has really delved into the law of attraction, you have to have that flow of energy moving back and forth between you and that which you're focusing on.
Right.
So to say to someone, please forgive me, what it does is it initiates a need for a response. And so when you go for forgiveness rather than saying sorry, what you're doing is you're creating a connection between you and the other individual. And I would recommend this to anybody that's listening, that the next time something happens where you would have gone in the past and said, I'm sorry, instead say, please forgive me, and then offer up that forgiveness back to you, back to the person. So you would say, please forgive me, I forgive you. The concept of love, of course, having lived here in the islands, Julie, I think you've heard the term aloha.
Oh, yes.
And one of the basic teachings of Huna is that everything must come from aloha and not the hello or goodbye aloha, the love and really doing it from your heart. So when you offer up forgiveness, it is with aloha. And then you give that to the other person and ask for it in return. That creates an energetic connection. And really, right down to the physical experience of that with the person, you actually reduce then that negative effect that you would have from holding on to the unforgiveness, I guess, if you would. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. If you could go a little bit more, because say it again.
Well, and another way to look at it is that when you just say sorry to someone, the person has the opportunity to respond. Yeah, like in my past relationship, one time I said, I'm sorry, and then there was no response.
Right.
She said, I'm sorry she one time said she was sorry to me, and in my mind I'm sitting there going, you sure are sorry. Look what you just did. And we've done that, you know. I mean, I'm willing to admit it. You know, there have been times in the past where I've fallen down on the path, and even though I know what I know, I fall right down on my face, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We learn from those events, and you know, when you sit there and you say sorry, it doesn't ask for anything in return. It doesn't put any energy out there.
So what you're saying is you don't need to say I'm sorry, but please forgive me, I forgive you.
Right. I don't think that there was actually a way to phrase to someone I am sorry in Hawaiian. The word that you would say is you would say a kalamai iau, which means please forgive me, which sometimes is loosely translated to I'm sorry, but in actuality what it's saying is please forgive me.
Oh.
And now, and here's an example, and I was taught this by George Naope, who founded the Merry Monarch Festival over in Hilo.
Mm-hmm.
He comes and teaches at the workshop, and he's been coming ever since 1989 when we did our first workshop.
Oh my goodness.
And he was here this last time, and we talked about this again, and I had talked about this with him back in the early 90s when I'd actually stayed at his house for a while and gone to study with him. And what he said is that in our life, it's possible that we can do a wrong or commit a wrong without even knowing it. And he said in ancient times that was called either hala or heva. Hala would be to miss the path, to err by omission. Heva would be to go overboard. I've done that in the past. I've gone overboard. I've missed the path. And he said sometimes when you're up in front of a group and you're teaching, for example, you could get very passionate about something and you could say something, and even though your intention is pure and from the heart, you could accidentally offend someone in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And so he said to me, he said, as I began to teach, and this is about 10 or 15 years ago now, as I began to teach, he said to me, you really need to make sure that every once in a while you just look out at the audience and you say, I call my EL. Please forgive me. It was not my intention to offend. And by doing that, what you're saying is, you're not saying sorry. You're initiating a connection with the person and asking for forgiveness.
I see.
And that's an entirely different approach than what we do in Western thinking. In Western thinking, it's very one-sided. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry energetically doesn't ask for anything to come back.
Wow.
Does that help?
Yes, that's excellent. Excellent.
And I mean, so one of the simplest things, even when I do a one-day intro, I start talking to people about how do you think about things? And obviously, this is law of attraction. If you think of things and you phrase them in a certain way, it creates it and makes it become real in that way that you're thinking about it. So when you try on forgiveness in your mind in comparison to I'm sorry, it actually opens up a movement of energy between you and another person, which allows the forgiveness process to begin or to occur. That's not to say you can't get forgiveness by just saying sorry. I know you can. I've just found ways that make it a little bit easier or initiate it a little bit faster.
Absolutely. There is a definite connection. I can see that. That would be great. Okay, now I understand that. Okay, so what about the I love you, I thank you part of it? I love you is aloha, and that's sending it, but it you're trying to connect with people through those phrases too?
Yes, and that was a part. The tradition that I carry, in addition to the lineage that comes from the Bray family here in Kona, my father got to study with a lady named Morna Simeon. Mm-hmm. And I believe Morna Simeon worked with Dr. Len, and she was one of the very first people that really took Ho'oponopono out to the world. I mean, she taught it to the United Nations. She taught it to so many people. It was her life mission to really focus on that one aspect of what we would call Huna. And my father studied with her. And there was always this aspect that you would bring into the process of Ho'oponopono, ho'o to make, and pono, make it right. And when you say pono pono, you're making it doubly right, or right with you and others.
Mm.
And it was this idea of thanks. And so in the process of Ho'oponopono, there would not only be the forgiveness, so you would ask the person for forgiveness and you would give forgiveness, there would also be the aspect of doing it with love, coming from the heart, with aloha, and you would also then, in addition to that, bring in the concept of thanks. The reason you would do that is because everyone that comes into your lifetime is there for a reason. Even from the simplest encounter, you can learn something. And so it was important to be thankful for that. And so in certain instances, in some of the techniques of Ho'oponopono, you would thank the person as well as asking for forgiveness. So you would say, please forgive me, I forgive you. Thank you for everything that you have done. And this comes from the heart with love. And these three aspects brought in together truly facilitate, it takes it back to the word pono. And pono is really, there's no congruent or solid English translation for pono. Pono is just the state of being where you are solid in your foundation. And when you are pono with another person, nothing else ever needs to be said again. You know, one of the trainers that we had that taught at Huna for many years said, to forgive and to never forget is to never forgive in the first place. And the idea of pono is where you let go of. You forget that which occurred, and true forgiveness comes in.
Mm. Well, I've seen on a lot of the groups that I belong to that emails go back and forth that have the words, I love you, thank you, and please forgive me, and I'm sorry. Not necessarily in that order, but so they're trying, they're putting that down to connect to the people that they're connecting with through the emails. Is that correct? Should you be doing that and saying that to everybody you meet and see? Or is it even necessary?
Okay, I guess I think that comes down to more of a personal, is that necessary? Oh, that's a good question. I think that, well, if I were to quote Morna Simeone, she believed that you should do the process of Ho'oponopono on a daily basis. Now, the way that she taught it, you did the entire process in your head. So everything was done in your mind, and it utilized the concepts of perception as projection, of archetypes, of all these different, I can get very psychological on it, but it basically utilized the fact that there's nothing outside you. The Bray family lineage discussed Ho'oponopono as being very face-to-face. In other words, that when you did Ho'oponopono, it was done face-to-face and sometimes with a mediator. In the traditions that I have learned where Ho'oponopono is face-to-face, it's not necessary to do it every day. It's good to do it every once in a while. Like whoever is the patriarch or matriarch of the family could call a meeting where everyone comes together to make sure that they're pono. That wouldn't be done necessarily on a daily basis. Morna Simeone, though, the way that she did teach it, she suggested that you did it on a regular basis, that you did, in your mind, make sure that you maintain the energetic relationships with people and maintain that experience of being pono. Mm. So I guess when you see them in emails every day, that could be a personal preference, and I wouldn't say it was right or wrong. If it's necessary, then that's good that they're doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've just always, and now I totally understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to connect. It makes logical sense now. Well, can we talk about Huna magic a little bit? Is there magic in Huna? Is this the creation part?
I do believe so. You know, there in ancient times, if you could flow energy to another person, that was considered to be magic. One of the things that I teach is hypnosis. I have a training a while back in hypnosis, more from the therapeutic aspect, though, before you start thinking, do you make people bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken? No, in all the things that I've studied, I looked at that because it's a really more of the Western approach as to how we communicate with our unconscious mind. That's really in the depths, what hypnosis is a study of. It's a study of how we communicate with our unconscious mind and produce the results in our life. I bring this up for an important point because 200, 300 years ago, if a person was able to produce hypnotic phenomena in another person, they were called a magician.
Mm.
If a person was able to focus on something that they want and create it, even a small portion of what it is that they're focusing on, they were considered to be a magician. They were someone that other people would go to. This is more of a Western term, of course. And so I do believe that that we kind of lost that a little bit. We denied, for how many years did we deny that there was any energy? For hundreds of years in Western thinking, we said there's no such thing as energy. We denied the fact that we could think about something and create it. We really thought we were at the whims of our external environment and our external world. So I believe that when you tap into these techniques, the things that you talk about on your show in Huna, you really are going back to a time where there was magic. There was this ability to create and to manifest. And so rather than thinking of magic as a word like, what are those TV shows where people do the illusions? I'm separating illusion from magic and true magic where the world becomes a magical place that you are in charge of. You're in charge of your own universe.
You know, that brings up a good point. I think all law of attraction practitioners are magicians. I've never thought of it that way. That brings great clarity. You know, we can create magic. and through our mind and through the energy. This is wonderful.
No, that's true. And, you know, it's just a label. So I think I've said this on stage a couple times about the magic, and I've had people say, but I have this really negative view of magic. And I said, well, what if you had a positive view of magic? Would the label be okay? And they went, yeah, it would be okay. And I'm like, okay, great. It's just a label, you know. I mean, if you want to see it that way and it makes you feel good, that's fantastic. And I do believe that anyone that's practicing something to gain more control over their life, they are tapping into something that is quite magical.
Absolutely.
They are tapping into something that is quite powerful.
Absolutely. I'm still waiting for the teacher to come and teach us how we can wiggle our nose, you know, like the Bewitched series, and have instant manifestations.
Oh, like, you and
okay,
me both. I would love that.
Let's just do that kind of magic. But
there is definitely a time lag on thinking about it and it showing up in the physical realm. There is definitely this time lag that occurs. You're sitting there thinking about it and going, when is it going to happen? That's for sure.
Absolutely, and that's where people get frustrated. You have another concept that you thought that we could talk about tonight, about charging water with energy.
You brought that up.
This is fascinating. We can do this at home, right? Or what? What is this all about?
Oh, of course. If anyone out there has seen the movie What the Bleep.
Oh, yeah.
What is the name? Why the guy's name is escaping me. I like to make sure I give credit, you know, where credit's due. What's the name of the guy that did the work with the water crystals?
Emoto.
Emoto, thank you so much. I mean, there's absolutely clear evidence that whatever thoughts you have go all the way down into the water. Now, one of the things that I really like to emphasize in my trainings is that knowledge is really neat, and it's even better when you actually do something with it. So the reason why I found the work by Emoto to be so important is that what is our body mostly made up of?
Water.
Water. Our body is mostly made up of water. And so I want to just bringing up this idea of charging up water with healing properties. Our body is mostly made up of water. So whether you use this concept with yourself or where you actually put your hand on a glass of water, the thoughts that you have, the reason why they trickle down all the way into the physical and the reason why they affect every cell in your body, not just from quantum biology from Deepak Chopra and not just the discussions of psychoneuroimmunology, the reason why it happens from a HUNA perspective is that your body is made up of water, and the thoughts that you have go into the water and change the actual molecules of the water. And so if you're holding positive intention, it doesn't just focus it outward for manifestation. It takes it all the way down deep inside and inward. So every thought that you have, every emotion that you experience, every picture in your mind, everything you say to yourself trickles all the way down into the very physical being of who and what you are. So taking that concept, then in ancient times they would use this externally as well. So they would take this idea that your thoughts affect you down to the physical and they'd charge up water. So at our HUNA workshop every March and September, what we do is on the last day of the 9-day training, we teach people how to work with the elements in an external manner. So we do an ahi ritual, a fire ritual, to teach you how to work with the fire to dissolve an issue. And we work with the water. And one of the things that you can do, and we do this in the training, is we hold a glass of water and put the intention into it that we want to have. We then pass that water down throughout the room, and each person touches it. And then at the end of it, everyone starts with a cup of water. At the end of it, you take the water and you drink it. And so that brings in that intention or that vibration into you. The reason why colors have an effect on water is because the colors are related to the elements. Blue, and I think that's the one that you were asking me about specifically, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The blue is related to the metaphysical element of water. It's called Vi, and water is very nurturing. It's very healing. And the quality of the metaphysical energy of Vi is that of a healing, nurturing, caring experience. And so when you're doing energy work with someone, flowing that type of energy helps a person become healed, to become nurtured. So by taking that color and wrapping it around a glass of water, what you're doing is you're putting the intention then into it to transfer that type of mana, that type of energy into the water.
Oh, wow.
And that's the basic concept of it. And there's a lot of different approaches to that. You know, you can, in our Huna lineage, we have symbols that were passed down through a manuscript from an ali'i, Kualhau ali'i. And you can take the symbols and put the energy of the symbol into the water. You can take the elements and put it into the water. You can put your intention into the water. And then when you drink that, that actually goes inside you and helps to transform you as an individual all the way down to the deepest level. That's kind of the fundamental principle behind that. Does that help?
Yes, that's wonderful. What other colors can you use? And what do the colors, like red, what does that mean? Or yellow, is there properties for that?
Oh, of course. Each of the colors, and you know, when we talk about colors, I have to respect many other traditions. And obviously when I talk about colors, I'm going to be talking about it more from a Huna perspective and from my lineage. And from a Huna perspective, yellow is more often related to the earth element. However, I've worked with and had great discussions with Native American practitioners, a couple of Native American chiefs, and yellow for them was much more of the fire element.
Hmm.
So how the color resonates to you is sometimes just as important as what other people think about the color. From the Huna perspective, red is very fiery. That seems to be a universal experience. The color of red does tend to evoke a fiery response, and so fire is very expansive. It's electric. It can help to do, I know you guys in California had those brush fires.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, on the physical level, obviously too much fire can create that type of destruction. And so in working with fire, I would always caution people that you want to make sure that you have intention behind it. And this really goes to the law of attraction. And that is that when you're working with an element, let's take fire, for example. I had a student that loved the fire element. He had come to our Huna workshop, and he got to really just enjoy the experience of the fire element. And he called me up one day, got a hold of me through our office, and said, I have so much fire now. I have things like indigestion. I have trouble eating. I wake up in the middle of the night. And I said, what have you been doing? And he said, I've been calling the fire energy and doing the fire breath and the meditating on the fire. And I said, for what purpose? And he said, well, I didn't really have a purpose. I just put fire in there. And I went, well, that's really neat. You know, I mean, you're going to really get to know fire, but just fire with no intention is just going to burn. What is the intention of the fire? See, fire, when it is controlled, when there's an intention behind it, fire can help you dissolve or burn away an old problem.
Mm.
It can help you expand into a new area. So you actually, when you put that blue or that red around a glass, you have to do more than just put red and go, it's going to put fire in there. You have to actually put an intention behind it and say, I'm putting this blue around the water so that it helps me with my healing, so that it helps me with my nurturing, whatever your intention is.
Wow.
The fire is the same thing. So one of the fundamental aspects that I teach in the Huna training is that you have to have an intention and a purity of thought when you work with any type of energy, because I guess more from an ancient saying, energy flows where attention goes. So whatever your attention is, that's where the energy is going to go.
Absolutely. Now I have this rain meditation coming up next week. Is there a particular color that I can use, which I really haven't because I use any colors at all? Is there a color I can use to bring more of a spiritual or be beneficial for the state of Georgia and the drought?
Well, I know. I heard about the drought that they're having there, and they're trucking in water, aren't they? I mean,
yes,
it's
really horrendous there.
Yeah. One of the things that you definitely, from a Huna perspective, you can bring in the focus and the intention of the color blue.
Okay.
You can bring in that idea of the water. And one of the things that, because, you know, we do meditations in our HUNA training. We do work with the elements, and it goes back to intention again. If you just meditate on water, well, a level 3 student asked me, you know, what if I just meditate on water? What would that do? And I said, you might get anything. Like the guy with fire. He just kept meditating on fire, and he just had fire. When I asked him what his intention was, he wanted to actually burn out a problem. And when he took that intention in there, it focused the fire, the problem went away.
Mm.
And so one of the strongest points that HUNA would give to a meditation on something that big, and especially when you bring that many people into it where it can definitely affect the overall consciousness, you want to have a very specific intention. And the intention of a calm, gentle water, because, you know, when the earth gets too dry, a flood could occur. And so even the best intention of bringing in too much water may not be the best thing. So always, what is the very specific intention? And then definitely working with the color blue. That would definitely,
great,
from a HUNA perspective, enhance it.
Very good. I will use the color blue. And I do use pictures and seeing the end results and, of course, the feeling in it. So I think that shows the safety of the rain coming down.
What's very positive,
the end result that we want, because we don't want floods. We don't want devastation to occur, but we do want water to get into that area.
Definitely do. That's for sure.
But the blue water, I'm going to put that into my meditation and attribute it all to you.
attribute it to HUNA, but I mean, thank you. Yes.
This is great. Well, we're almost out of time, but right now you're in Lanai, right?
No, I'm over in Kona.
Oh, and you're in Kona right now, and you're having a rainstorm?
Yeah, we actually have rain, so you guys must have helped manifest it. The universe must have known we were going to talk about it. I'm looking outside, and we needed rain, too, so.
Oh, well,
we'll
good.
See if we can move this a little bit to the east now for you guys.
Yeah, that's what we want. What about your seminars? Please tell us about your seminar in Los Angeles or any other ones that I know my listening audience wants to know, where they can contact you, where they can get more information on seminars, and even going to the beautiful Paradise Islands of Hawaii to take seminars.
Well, I know. It's
really
tough when you have to come take a training out here.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm going to.
Well, I actually do travel to go visit people where they live. I don't actually ask everyone to come out here, although I think people sometimes wish that everyone had to come out here.
Yes.
I'm going to be in California. I love California. It's such a Southern California, such a wonderful place.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in California on November 30th. I'm going to be doing a HUNA intro on the 30th, the 1st, and the 2nd.
Mm, okay.
And all that information is at HUNA.com. And, you know, one of the things that I like to do is in honoring the law of attraction and giving back and an energetic connection, I always love to make sure that anyone that is listening, if they call up, that they can get a discount on the training. We'll offer your listeners a discount. Or if they wanted to get a CD on Ho'oponopono, that we'd be more than happy to send that out.
Oh, wonderful. How exciting. Okay.
And so you can reach us at HUNA.com, or, and I think our number's up there, but our number's 800-800-MIND. That's an easy number to remember.
800-MIND.
Uh-huh. 800-800-MIND.
800-800-MIND.
Now, no one's there today. No one's there today. It's Sunday.
Yes, but they...
We'll be there tomorrow, though.
Okay, good. We'll expect some calls. This is something that everybody really wants to know about.
And Julie, if you'd like to come to the HUNA workshop, definitely I'd love to extend an invitation to you.
Well, thank you. You know what? I'm going to take you up on that, because I really, really want to learn more about this. It just seems to click with me. I just feel very, very good with it. So you will see me on November 30th. I will be there.
That'll be fine. We're going to go over all the elements and Ho'oponopono and the release process. So you're going to learn all about water, fire, air, and earth, not just the water element.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. And be sure you go to HUNA.com. It's a great website. I mean, I've been looking at it. It has all this terrific information. And it has schedules and everything that you need. So just go there and sign up. Thank you so much, Dr. James. I really, really loved having you on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It was an absolute pleasure.
great. And for all of you, please tune in next week. And until we meet next week, have a wonderful, safe, prosperous future.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.